We continue today with lesson number 46 in our ongoing and almost complete study of Mishnayos Maseches Menachos. We are in the last perek, perek Yud Gimel, perek 13, and we are learning today the 9th and 10th Mishnah, Mishnah Tes and Mishnah Yud. Mishnah Tes begins as follows. Shor shel ola. If a person has designated a shor, an ox, to be a korban ola. And we have already learned that if a person is makdish a behema, behema is a sacred korban, and it develops a mum, it develops a blemish or defect which renders it invalid for a korban, it can be redeemed. And the sanctity is, so to speak, transferred from the animal onto the money that one redeems the animal for. If one has designated a shor to be an ola, v'nis to'ev, and it becomes a balmum, it becomes defective, imrotzo yovi bedomov shnayim, he can redeem the animal, and with the money that he has redeemed the Baal Mum animal with, he can, if he wishes, purchase two animals. Remember here, he did not designate, he did not say, I promise to give a shor, in which case he has to give a shor not of a certain value and not two shivorim of lesser value. But here he has designated this shor as an ola. Once the Kedusha of this shor has been redeemed and transferred to the money, that money can be used to buy two oxen. It doesn't have to be limited to only buying one very expensive ox. Shnei shevodim elu ola. If a person has designated two specific shevodim, remember the plural of shor is shevodim, he has designated two specific oxen of his to be korbanos ola, vinis ta'avu, and they became balemum. Imrotzo, if he wishes, yavibid mehem echot, he could take the money and buy one fat, expensive ox. So holds the Tanakama, Rabbi Oser. However, Rabbi disagrees and says that at least lechatchila, the Gemara explains, he should try, if he promised two shivorim, to bring two shivorim if the first set of two become balei mum and he redeems them for money. He should use the money to bring literally what he promised. B'di'eved, the Gemara says, if he brings one with the money that he has used to redeem two, that's also appropriate. Rabbi Oser, only l'chatchila. Ayel ze'olo, if a person says, let this specific ram be a korban ola, v'nis to'av, and it becomes a balmum, imrotzo yavi bedomov keves. He can, if he wishes, to bring, instead of an ayel, which is a two-year-old sheep, he can bring a keves, which is a one-year-old sheep. Keves ze olav v'nis to'av imrotzo yavi bedomov ayel. Similarly, if he promised a keves, and the keves became a balmum, he could purchase an ayel. The underlying principle here, the Gemara explains, is that he can even bring another min, another species, another type of animal, if the first animal became a balmum, with the money that he used to redeem the first animal. However, Rabbi Oser, Rabbi disagrees, and says that if possible, l'chatchila, he should try to literally keep to his neder. He designated an animal as a keves, as an ola. If it becomes a balmum, with the money used to redeem it, he should buy a keves, etc. Ha'omer, echod mi kevosai hekdesh, ve'echod mi shivorai hekdesh. A person who says either, one of my sheep should be a korban, hekdesh, or one of my oxen should be a korban, hekdesh. So, if he had only two sheep or two oxen, hayu lo shnayim, Hagodol Shebohen Hegdish. The larger and more expensive of the two is the one that is Hegdish, because we assume Kol HaMakdish Ba'ayin Yofeh Makdish, whoever dedicates something to the temple does so with a ayin yofe, with a beautiful eye, meaning generously. So, of course, he meant to designate the gadol of the two. However, if he had three sheep or three oxen, and he said, echod mikavosai hegdish, or echod mishivorai hegdish, shlosho, he had three, habenoni shebohen hegdish, besides the greatest and most expensive of the three, the middle one, the one not the cheapest and not the most expensive, also becomes hegdish, because relative to the least of the three, the middle one, the Beinoni, is also a ayin yofe, is also a generous donation. So the Beinoni becomes hegdish as well as the gadol. The Gemara explains that what he does in such a situation is as follows. He puts both the Beinoni and the Gadol out to pasture. If the Beinoni develops a mum first, he is mechalel the Beinoni for the Gadol, meaning he redeems the Beinoni with the Gadol, which is, of course, worth more even than the Beinoni, so that's fine. Thereby, the Beinoni now about mum goes l'chulin, and if he had meant to designate the Beinoni, it is now balmum and redeemed, and the Gadol can be brought as a korban following the Chachomim. A koton vehevi es hagadol is fine. If putting the Beinoni and the Gadol out to pasture, the Gadol becomes a balmum first, so he is mechalel the Beinoni, he is mechalel the Gadol, the balmum, with the Beinoni. The Beinoni now becomes hegdish, and he brings that as his korban. However, since he promised a gadol, if he promised a gadol on that chance that it was the gadol that he promised, the Beinoni, of course, does not cover the full value of what he originally donated, if he had indeed originally donated the gadol. So therefore, he has to figure out the difference between the value of the Beinoni, which is now going to be a korban, and the Gadol, which is a Balmum and redeemed, and with that difference, purchase another Korban so that he has spent all the money he might have originally promised had he originally promised the Gadol. If he says, Perashti, once I designated specifically, I didn't just say one of my sheep, but I specifically designated a certain one of my sheep or one of my oxen as hegdish. Ve'eni yodeya ma perashti, I no longer remember which one I designated as a korban. Or, o she'omar omar li abba, Papa told me before he died which of the flock he designated as a korban. But ve'eni yodeya ma, I don't know, I no longer remember what Papa told me. Hagadol Shebohen Hegdish. In such a situation, we figure that probably the father or him earlier, once he designated something specifically, most probably designated the better of the whole lot, Mivchar Nidreichem, as the Pasuk says, and it is the Gadol which is Hegdish. The next Mishnah Yud, requires a long introduction, which I will try to abbreviate with just the highlights of this fascinating story. According to the Gemara, when Shimon HaTzadik died, he left two sons. Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol. He left one son, Chonyo, and another son, Shimi. Shimi was 2 years plus older than Chonyo, but Chonyo was designated by Shimon HaTzadik as the Kohen Gadol. As the story happened, it's a long and involved story, Chonyo eventually fled Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, and set up shop in, of all places, Alexandria, Egypt, Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. And there he built a structure which was in the, resembled the Beis HaMikdosh, and he had an altar there. This story, by the way, is not only recorded in our Gemara toward the end of Maseches Menachos, but is also recorded by Josephus in his famous book, The Wars of the Jews. In any case, this temple, of course, in Alexandria had no halachic standing, to say the least, But obviously, Chanyo had his followers who actually performed the Kohen services in that temple and who brought sacrifices to that temple. So our Gemara describes the halachos involved in such a situation. Harei olai ola. If a person stam says, I hereby promise to bring a korban ola. Yakriveno b'migdash, of course, even if he lives in Alexandria, he is to take that korban to the Beis HaMikdash and offer it as a sacrifice there. V'yim hikrivo b'veis chonyo. However, if he offers it as a sacrifice in this temple of Chonyo, lo yotza, he has not fulfilled his neder. His neder was to bring a valid korban ola. Whatever he brings there in Beis Chonyo is nothing. But suppose he made a neder, hare olai olo, I'm bringing an olo, I promise to bring an olo, she'akriveno b'veis chonyo, on the condition that I be makrivit in the house of chonyo, in the temple of chonyo. So the Mishnah says, yakriveno b'migdosh. Nevertheless, once he said the word hare olai olo, he's bound to bring a korban olo to the Beis HaMikdosh, and none of this Beis Chonyo nonsense. But suppose he said, if indeed he was makrivit in Beis Chonyo, says the Mishnah, yotza. He has fulfilled not the korban, but he has fulfilled his neder. The Gemara explains that even though his korban, of course, is no valid korban, all he did was kill an animal in Alexandria. That's all that happened from the viewpoint of halacha. There's nothing of any sacred nature that occurred. Nevertheless, he has fulfilled his neder, because when he said, that is as if he said, I promise to bring an ola on the condition that if I kill it in Alexandria, I won't be obligated to bring another korban ola. So that's exactly what happened. He took this korban ola, he killed it, not sacrificed it, because whatever he did in Beis Chonyo was garnished. So he killed it. He killed it in Alexandria. So the poor animal's dead, and the fellow has fulfilled his vow. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Einzo ola. That's not a korban ola. That's an old nonsense word, Shakrivenu Beveis Chonyo. The neder is no neder, the behema is not kadosh, nothing happened. He just plappled. He just said empty words. Scenario number two, Hareni Nazir. If a person says, behold, I am becoming a Nazir. So he has to abstain from everything he has to abstain from grapes and wine, and coming into contact with the dead, and taking a haircut, etc. At the conclusion of the term of his Nazirus, Yigalach Bamigdosh, he must appear in the Beis HaMikdosh in Yerushalayim, bring the various korbanos, and take the haircut that is prescribed, the giluach, the taglachas, which is prescribed at the end of his course of Nazirus, and he has to do that in the Beis HaMikdosh. But suppose the guy living in Egypt doesn't want to spend the exorbitant airfare to go to Yerushalayim, so he goes to Beis Chonyo, and in his local temple, performs the taglachas and the korbanos. So the Mishnah says, v'im gilach b'Beis Chonyo lo yotza. His Nazirus was a Nazirus, but the Karbonos and Taklachas with which he would normally exit his Nazirus, of course, are invalid. But suppose he says, Hareni Nazir She'agalach Beveis Chonyo. The condition under which I'm becoming a Nazir is that I should be able to do the final haircut and the accompanying Karbonos in Beis Chonyo. Yigalach b'migdosh. Nevertheless, buddy, get on the airplane and get straight to Yerushalayim and conclude your Nazirus there properly. Your condition, your tenai, shagalach b'veis chonyo, is nothing. V'yim gilach b'veis chonyo. If, however, he concludes his Nazirus with a haircut in Beis Chonyo and brings the korbanos there too, yotze, he is yotze. The Gemara explains that he's yotze not because he did a proper Nazirus and ended it properly, but because a person who says, I'll be a Nazir, but I'll bring the sacrifices and the conclusion of the Nazirus in Tibet, in Kathmandu, or in Alexandria, All he's really saying is not I'll be a nazir, but rather I'm going to go into a state of a monastic abstinence, and I will refrain from grapes and from contact with the dead and from taking a haircut, etc., for 30 days. Fine. All it is, he is mitzayer es atzmo. He's inflicting difficulties upon himself. That's his neder. He's not technically a nazir. So whatever he did in Beis Chonya with the haircut and the karbonos is all a bunch of nonsense. But he has fulfilled his neder, because his neder is not a neder of nazirus. It is a neder to be mitzayer himself, to afflict himself, to go through a stage of abstinence. So fine, so that was done. However, Rabbi Shimon Omer ain't said nazir. Rabbi Shimon says he said nothing, it means nothing, he can drink wine, nothing happened here, it's just nonsense words. The halacha is not like Rav Shimon, not in the scenario one of the Korban Ola, nor in scenario number two of the Nazir. The Mishnah concludes, HaKohanim sheshimshu beveis chonyo, those Kohanim who actually followed Chonyo to Alexandria and performed Kohanic services in his, quote, temple, end quote, lo yishamshu b'migdosh b'Yerushalayim. They can never return to Yerushalayim and serve there. Tosfos explains that it is only in the Migdosh in Yerushalayim that they cannot serve. They cannot do the proper avoda. However, in those days when there was no Migdosh in Yerushalayim, but rather when the Mishkan was in Nov or in Givon, there they could have served, and certainly nowadays when there is no Beis HaMikdash, a Kohen who serves in some idol-worshipping context, some pagan rites or something, can continue to receive the first Aliyah as a Kohen and can pronounce the blessings of the Birchas Kohanim, Ki Kenduchen, as well. So says Tosfos in the name of Teshuvas Rashi, of a responsum written by Rashi. V'ein tzarech loma l'dover acher. Certainly, a Kohen who actually served in a pagan temple as opposed to Chonyo's temple can certainly never again serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And Emma, as the Pasuk says in Melachim Beis, Perek Chof Gimel Posuk Tes, Ach lo ya'alu kohanei habamos el mizbach Hashem b'Yerushalayim, that those who served in the altars, the idol-worshipping altars, can never again go up to the altar in Yerushalayim, ki im achlu matzos besoch acheihem, but they can partake in the matzos distributed to the kohanim, meaning they can partake in the korbonos mincha, which are baked as matzah and which are eaten by the fellow kohanim. He can join his fellows, and he can also join his fellows in eating all other kochim. Hareihem kevale mumin. Such a person is no different from a balmum, a kohen who has a physical defect, who is cholkin v'ochlim, he has a portion with his fellows in the temple sacrifices which belong to the Kohanim. Those parts which are eaten by the Kohanim can be eaten by him. Avalo makriven, the balmum and the Kohen who served in an idol-worshipping temple cannot ever be makriv again in the holy Beis HaMikdosh in Yerushalayim. And so we have completed Mishnayos number 9 and 10, and in the process have concluded lesson number 46.